Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm the co-host.
You forgot the marital tour of misguided medicine.
It's a marital tour of misguided medicine.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
I'm introducing some Gregorian chant vibes.
Yeah, what's that all
about?
Remember
the time in the 90s when Gregorian chant was like a thing
It was really in.
God, y'all, look into it. There was a bit where Gregorian chant had a moment.
Well, in the 90s, we were just trying everything
for a little bit.
We were like, Gregorian chants, is this something? Swing? Swing came way back, back in a big way for like 5 minutes.
We invented a genre for every country that isn't America. It was called world music. It was American music and world music.
Everything that's not American.
Everything that's not American. It doesn't. Listen.
The 90s were a wild time. And I know you think you understand it because you're all wearing the fashion of the 90s now.
It's not the same.
But you had to live it.
Yeah, you had to live it. wait till Stranger Things gets there. You will see. This is Sawbones. We're doing a very silly episode this week.
Yes. I feel like we're all very stressed. The holidays are coming, which inherently has stress involved, you know, because you want to do all the stuff so that it's a good time for everybody. But I think we're also stressed because the elephant in the room, the Omicron covered elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I don't know if elephants get Omicron. That was weird. That was a weird way to word that.
Weird image, yeah.
And everybody's stressed because we don't know what it means. And that's, I felt like I should address, why are we not doing an episode on that right now? Why are we doing something silly and fun and holiday themed? Because I think you probably know all there is to know about it at the moment, which is, it's still too early to know. It's very contagious. Hopefully it is less severe than Delta.
I'll go on the record and say that it is.
There are factors that are pointing that way, but it is early.
Specifically, and expert witness
that is,
Justin
no,
McElroy.
That is what all the scientists are saying is, yes, of course we hope that because it's more contagious.
I'll say it. It's the end of COVID, baby.
No.
We're all getting out.
I am not saying that. Of course I hope that. I want to go places and see people.
We were so wrong about the beginning of this. I just want to be right about this. I want to call my shot and say that Omicron will be the end of COVID. Okay?
It would be nice to think that a milder, more contagious strain would outcompete Delta and make this a less deadly disease.
Why are you putting it in a boring
way? That would be very
way.
Nice. I hope that that happens. I hope everybody gets vaccinated, because if you get vaccinated,
it ain't happening. Ship sailed. Nobody wants it.
Even if you get COVID, you don't get severe illness or die.
I'm relying now on virus mutation to get us out of this, because humanity cannot do it on its own.
I mean, I don't know. Anyway, we don't
Omicron,
know enough
baby.
Yet.
I
hope
the
that's the direction it's going.
I
would
fix everything.
I would, even if you are vaccinated and boosted. Well, first of all, if you're not, go do that. And secondly, if you are, I would be a little more cautious about, if you have symptoms of something, don't assume it's not COVID.
Yeah. And don't assume that just because Omicron is a weak COVID that's going to get us all out of this jam.
No, because there are still immunocompromised people who are who have underlying chronic illness that are going to be more susceptible to severe disease. And so to continue to protect others around you, get vaccinated, get boosted, wear your mask.
And get hyped, because COVID is on the way out thanks to Omicron, a weak COVID that can't
now,
hang.
Now, you keep saying that, and you're going to give it an air of authority because it's on this podcast, but we don't
remember
know that.
Remember, it was me that said it,
I
not
hope
Sydney.
That that is
you can
true,
tell the difference.
But we just don't know yet.
I know it's
we
true.
Just don't know yet.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a false sense of security. That was me to you.
That was good.
That's good. You like that segue?
That was good. Although you didn't, I will say that's not true because I don't believe you. I know better. I know better. Follow the science, and the science is developing. We're getting answers slowly. A lot of scientists are working on it.
Get off the
Let's talk
box.
About the 12 days of Christmas. This yes. is what we're doing. This is the topic. Doing. We're going to talk about the 12 days of Christmas, except in a Sawbones style.
Yes. What if the 12 days of Christmas, each one was not simply a gift, but a veiled threat, I guess?
What if your true love doesn't have good intentions?
What if your true love is attempting to kill you with these gifts? So Sydney wanted to take this song and pervert it, in as is her fashion.
That is what I do. I remember when this was inspired by, we once did an episode of Santa is Sick.
Yeah,
where I talked about all the illnesses that I think Santa might have.
That's a classic. We need to bring that one back too.
This is sort of in that spirit.
Yeah, so this is our last episode of this calendar year. We won't be here next week, and then we'll be back. We'll probably talk about Omicron pretty early next year.
Yes, I think once there is more information for me to share, right now it would be a lot of guessing. And, you know, there's plenty of guessing out there.
All right, now this is a little bit of a competition, although I don't think we'll be able to choose which is best, but we each brought our own just to see how they differed. The first is, for the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a partridge in a pear tree.
Okay, Sid, why is that bad?
Okay. I focus on the pear part of this, all right? There's a lot you can say about partridges.
Yeah.
Well,
but
that
there's
I
a lot of birds
now.
In this.
They're game birds.
Yeah.
You can eat them.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Most of these are game birds.
Most of these are birds.
This is a song
about birds.
Oh, it's about feasting. Mm. So a lot of these songs were like a lot of the early gifts were like foods that you would bring to a celebration.
And like even the word pear tree is probably just, did you read this? Is like, sort of stemmed from the word perdri for partridge or something. Like it probably had nothing to do with pear tree.
Okay.
Anyway. So they're all about birds, but pears are a controversial medicinal fruit.
Why is that?
So a lot of, we've talked about it on Sawbones, a lot of different fruits and vegetables or herbs or plants have been like investigated throughout the ages for like, is this medicine? Is this poison? I don't know. Raw pears were thought to be poison for a long time. But they thought if you baked them, you were cool because people were like, these taste good, so we should bake them and eat them. But by the 1700s, they did have a medicinal value.
What's that?
So you could use dried pears for belly fluxes.
Mm.
Diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, I think that their true love is trying to stop them up.
They're trying
to stop. This is kind of harmless. They're not trying to kill them. They're just trying to like stop them.
They're trying to treat their diarrhea.
They're trying to treat. Well, we don't know that you have diarrhea. If you don't have diarrhea, your true love is just trying to constipate you with some pears.
You're going
to
want to go with mine this one. Pears contain a naturally occurring toxin, amygdalin, which when you eat, your body releases cyanide in your guts. And I mean, so they're fatal.
So they're fatal. Well,
so they're fatal.
Now just, we should clarify, eating a pear is not fatal.
Eating a pear is not fatal because it would take hundreds, perhaps. The range, we've talked about this before, but the range of seeds that you would need to eat is so baffling. The range that is commonly accepted is like between 150 and thousands. So it's like
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. It would take...
Now,
lot.
To be fair, though, it is threatening in the sense that it is a whole pear tree. It's not a pear. It's a whole pear tree.
Yeah, okay, so you might be able to gin up enough seeds.
Generate, yes, enough seeds, and because you're going to continue to produce pears.
Okay. I think, who do you think wins that round?
You won that one. Okay. I was really reaching.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
two turtle doves.
Sydney, let me tell you my problem with turtle doves.
Yes.
Trichomoniasis. Was that yours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I can't believe you found this.
This is good, right?
I'm so proud of you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me what you know.
So trichomoniasis is commonly found in doves and pigeons, and it's a big problem for turtle doves, which used to be a lot more common throughout, but
yes, it is.
In part because of trichomoniasis. They, it's been a problem, especially for a lot of endangered pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
It can result in high mortality for young pigeons. It's been passed around a lot of different birds, especially in the UK where a lot of these birds are common. But in humans. It is the most common curable STD.
That's true. That's, well, it's the, but now do you know it's a different Trichomonas?
That is arguable.
You can't get, so the Trichomonas that
the problem
causes,
with the turtle doves is that they give you STDs.
No, the Trichomonas gallinae, which is what affects doves and other birds like you mentioned, is different from the Trichomonas vaginalis that affects humans. They are both Trichomonas. So yes, this is also why I chose this. Because turtle doves are also supposed to be like a lovey thing. It's like a symbol of like love and affection. And the fact that they also have this sort of vaguely related sexually transmitted infection. It's not sexually transmitted in turtle doves. Did I also learn this? Trichomonas is an ancient pathogen. And it used to cause illness in dinosaurs, we think. A frounce, like when this Trichomonas gallinae, when it affects birds of prey, it's called frounce.
Frounce?
And so dinosaurs could get the frounce.
Oh, Gary, I got the frounce. Remember that episode of Dinosaurs where
he got the frounce?
He got the frounce. Mm-hmm. Ed got the frounce.
You get lethargy and fluffed up plumage drool.
Did you see the frounce reunion, by the way?
Oh my gosh.
On Atrium.
Well, that's a tie, I guess, because we both came up with Trichomonas and the turtle doves.
Okay. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
3 French hens.
Another delicious game bird. If you're into eating animals, a lot of people aren't. Dig it.
That's fine, too.
All right. I started last time. It's your turn.
This one's an easy one.
Okay.
Avian flu.
Avian flu.
That's what you got to watch out for in these chickens.
Okay.
I mean, not specifically. This sounds like I'm like hating on French chickens specifically. It's just any.
And actually, it's not because they're French. Apparently, the words just sounded similar.
Yeah.
For the species.
They're just like from, they're like foreign hens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like fancy, fancy foreign hens, sort of like world music in the 90s.
Yeah, right.
These are like hens that aren't. I guess in the UK is probably where this song is. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Avian flu.
Mine is that hens, especially if they have fertilized eggs, can be really dangerous. They can attack you. They can try to peck you. It can be bad. But they don't know if the eggs are fertilized or not. So if they have any eggs, so it's best to move them away from the eggs. If they're like unfertilized, you need to harvest them. It's best to move them away from the eggs. Now, roosters, on the other hand, some are just mean. And you got, it said in the article I read, you got to get rid of them to protect your flock.
Oh.
It didn't say what it means.
I didn't know roosters were mean.
Some roosters are, if you have a mean rooster, you have to get rid of them. And I don't, you heard it here this first, piece folks. Didn't.
Justin McElroy thinks roosters are mean.
This piece didn't clarify how you get rid of a mean rooster. I guess you just get in an apartment in the city until it figures things out.
Yeah. Anger management.
Something. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Who won the last one?
You did.
I did?
Yes.
Avian flu is scarier than chickens.
Avian flu is scarier.
I don't know, though. Chickens.
By hens.
Hens.
French hens.
French hens. They're descended from dinosaurs, as we have established. That
doesn't make them chickens.
Scary.
Doesn't make them chickens.
Hens?
French hens are not chickens.
Yeah, they're related. They're just a kind of chicken.
It's not the French hens.
No, it's a specific kind of
chicken. Our French hens, Siri, are French hens chickens?
It's just a kind of chicken.
You're a kind of chicken right now. Are French hens chickens? The first search result is, are French hens considered birds? Yes. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, they're just chickens,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, why are you making me Faverolles chicken?
Favorite
is
chicken.
Is a French breed of chicken.
Okay.
There you go.
We all agree.
They're chickens. They've got like a big rough flipping beard or something.
Christmas, my true love gave to me
4 collie birds.
No, you can't.
It's
that's
not
cheating.
Calling.
That's cheating. You
it's supposed to be collie.
What? It's supposed to be collie.
Collie, not calling.
It's not calling.
No. Well, I mean, that's what we say now. That is commonly accepted now. You're not wrong, but it started as collie. That's the root of mine.
All right. So go on.
Collie birds is what it was originally. Do you know what collie is referencing?
No.
That they were coal collared.
Oh, interesting.
Black.
Okay.
They're blackbirds.
Oh.
That's the deal.
Okay.
Maybe ravens or just blackbirds, but they were coal collared.
Okay. Now, collie that's an birds. Interesting fact, but it doesn't get us anywhere near a diagnosis.
Well, I just sort of was playing around for fun here and decided that what if they have black lung?
It is fun. There's little there's little funnier or more fun than black lung.
We all know the dangers of cold of the lungs, and these are collie birds. I had nothing. And you run out, after a while, all these birds are just birds, Cindy, and they just have bird illnesses, which are scary, and we talk a lot about them. We did a whole episode about how scary birds can be medically.
If I can just say, Sydney, I wish, I feel like you kind of cheated on that one, because you're just kind of like pulling stuff out your butt. Is that fair to say?
It was a loose association.
Okay, a loose association, and you're embarrassed, would you say?
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay. Mine is four calling birds. Because 24% of all car crashes involve phone calls, hands-free or otherwise. So you get one of these birds, it's on the phone every day. Hey, what do you want to have for dinner tonight? I don't know. I'm driving. Leave me alone. 24% of crashes. You're not safer with the hands-free, folks. Stay off the phone.
Are you letting the birds drive in this scenario?
No, the bird is calling you. They're calling birds. They're calling you on the phone constantly. You're just trying to drive. You're just trying to get to Kroger and back. And they're like, "Hey, do you want to watch? Do you want to watch Orange Is the New Black tonight?"
Which one of these is a worse loose association?
I think this one's a tie too. Okay. Right, this is a tie.
Fair enough.
On the fifth day of Christmas, winter, I'm going to lose the next round pretty badly. On the fifth,
five golden rings.
Okay, sit.
Well, I went quite literal here.
Okay.
Five golden rings seems excessive to me. That seems like a lot of golden rings and a lot of gold. And mm-hmm. overexposure to gold, you can develop gold toxicity.
Okay.
This is actually a problem because gold compounds can be used in the treatment of certain illnesses like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes.
And if you get too much gold, you get skin rashes. You can get bleeding in your GI tract. You can get vomiting. It can actually, like, suppress your bone marrow. There's bad stuff that can come from too much gold. So I think this is a pretty clear threat. I'm going to give you so much gold that you're going to get gold poisoning.
That is pretty good. Mine, I actually kind of in a sawbones sort of fashion, I found the story of Dutch-born Johan Vandersmoot. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard his name?
No.
So Johan Vandersmoot was Dutch-born, and he actually was in a smelting accident, as he said. And he actually lost his genitals in the smelting accident in the 1970s. He actually had his genitals replaced with a gold key that activated the Preparation H tractor beam, and he thwarts Austin Powers by teaming up with Dr. Evil.
Oh my gosh, and this is fake.
It's Goldmember. It's not fake. It's historical.
This is fake. I was sitting here looking at you going, what are you, where is this story from?
Yeah, it's the story of Johan Vandersmoot, who's a
Dutch-born.
So this
is from Austin Powers?
He loves gold. So that's a big danger.
This is from Austin. Which Austin Powers is this from? I don't remember this one.
Goldmember.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Well, I know what we're doing after we finish this recording.
I mean, yours, you get the award for creativity.
Thank you, but I think you win that round. Okay, we got one more before the break. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
six geese a laying. Okay. Did you know that a lot of different wild avian species, like geese, have been found to be reservoirs of antibiotic-resistant enteric bacteria?
No.
Things like E. coli, like bacteria that live in your enteric, meaning like live in your intestinal tract. There is a much higher rate of resistant bacteria in animals like geese. So, like, they're harboring these deadly pathogens that antibiotics will not work for. Not just geese, but geese are among them. And so these birds could be carrying an infection that under normal circumstances would be easily curable with antibiotics. But the geese have made it a super bug.
Wow. For mine, I regretted doing a bird attack for French hens because these geese are laying and they are really dangerous. Now, it's interesting, Canadian geese attacks on humans have become a big problem because we are expanding into their territory.
Oh.
Yeah, so by removing...
So it's on us.
Yes, of course. Removing some of their natural habitats, and they're getting defensive because they have, you know, their nests there, especially if they're laying. Now, normally it would be the male Canadian geese that would do the attacking, but I mean, I think it counts.
Do you know there used to be a flock of Canadian geese that lived out back at my grandparents' house? And we named two of them Peg and Al that we would see, which sort of dates when this would have.
That's from Married with Children.
When this would have occurred. I think I win.
Yeah, you win that one too. And we've got six more days to come and fight over. Mine just get worse. So hang in there.
Because first we got to go to the billing department.
Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America. I mean, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. That's, I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life. I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this. You set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's five dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. Beautiful designs from Aura range from like, I just saw the new Carver mat it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too. Not just for you though, maybe it's a gift, but you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
This week on Tights and Fights, Austin Creed, better known as WWE superstar Xavier Woods, unbalancing his many passions.
This dude actually wants these ridiculous things. He wants to wear a crown. He wants to be a G4. He wants to have a yacht rock band. Like, he wants to DJ at a festival one day.
WWE and G4's Austin Creed on Tights and Fights. Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
seven swans a-swimming. I feel like you've gone up a key.
I feel
like we're modulating the key.
I'm sorry. It won't be as nice if we'll edit it together. Seven Swans of Swimming.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to start this time?
Yeah. This one, this is entrapment. This one's entrapment because the swans, especially if you're in the UK where this song is very popular, all of the swans are owned by the queen.
Oh.
So swans.
Yeah, it's a big deal to hurt a swan there.
Swans are not just hurt, but take. If they're a swimming and you're like, here, I got these for you as a gift. Just come take them out of the water real quick. You're going to get busted, pal.
That's true.
By the queen. Are you kidding me with this?
That's very true. You can't mess with swans in the UK.
So the deal is, hundreds of years ago, they were hunted to the point of endangerment. And so they, and this is no longer a problem. Well, they were hunted, and so the queen said, okay, these are all mine. But now they're currently endangered. So the queen's protection is sort of like to help the species populate. The queen actually has someone who works for her named the Queen's Swan Marker that is in charge of making sure that you that all the swans are cared for. Now,
that is so interesting.
It's not just living swans. Dead swans belong to the queen as well. So if you want to get a swan taxidermied, you have to get permission from the Queen's Swan Marker. True.
That seems, is it a cumbersome process? Like, how easy is it?
I bet it's pretty smooth. the other thing is that the queen also owns all the whales and dolphins.
was the queen just picking animals that she liked?
Yeah, the queen owns all the dolphins and whales, folks. That's that. There you go. The queen owns all that.
I've never wanted to be a queen, but in this exact moment, all of a sudden, I want to be a queen because if I can just claim, like, you know, all the Diet Dr. Peppers belong to me.
Yeah. What about swans for you, Zed?
Okay. Again, similar to geese, I did learn that swans are reservoirs for a lot of different bacteria like Campylobacter and Salmonella. However, the bigger problem for me was the swimming.
Okay.
Because I didn't really think about the angle of entrapment, you know, by the queen, but it's a big drowning risk if you're swimming around trying to catch seven swans. They probably don't want to be caught.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're drawing your true love out into the water. You know, best of luck.
Yeah. To drown them?
We're supposed to, like, that's the whole thing here.
You guys got a little dark for my taste.
You're trying to get them beheaded.
I don't think that's the punishment.
No, I don't think. Maybe it was at one point.
Can you hand that one to me?
Yeah, you get that one. Yours seems like better. One.
Okay. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Eight maids a milking. I feel like we may have come up with the same one on this one.
We'll see. You go ahead.
So for me, this one was the most obvious. This was actually the first one I thought of when I came up with this topic. This is why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Cowpox.
Okay.
Is that not yours?
Go ahead.
No. How is that not what you thought of?
It's pretty different. Go ahead.
Okay. Cowpox, you may remember we discussed in our episode on smallpox. It's a viral infection that can cause like skin lesions. Okay.
Okay.
Like pox, like these marks on your skin. And it is in the same family as smallpox, which of course it was a deadly illness that killed many, many, many people before we vaccinated against it and essentially eradicated it. It only exists in test tubes places. Cowpox is very similar, but is much milder. And so in the original like vaccination discovery process by Jenner, that's what he noticed, is that milkmaids would get cowpox from milking cows, and then they wouldn't get smallpox because it was an early form of variolation. You get this cowpox, you develop immunity that will also protect you from smallpox. Mm-hmm. So infecting people with cowpox could be a way to prevent them from getting and dying of smallpox. Well, so you're trying to give them cowpox is the point.
Well, I'm here to tell you that dairies are terrifying places to work at, according to WorkSafe, which is an organization in New Zealand that talks about the dangers of dairy farming and what you can do to, like, sort of address that. Like, moving rotary platforms, passing fixed rails can potentially trap or crush a person. So you're going to need to fit a banana rail between the rotary platforms, backing and kick rails. So that's just, like, one thing. Poor drainage on a dairy farm. I mean, it's going to be slippery. That's a hazard.
I don't know much about dairy farms, but poor drainage on a dairy farm, that sentence sounds nightmarish to me.
Poorly designed cow entries and exits that have turns, ramps, or steps are too steep. Okay, that's a danger, folks. Kicking cows.
Oh, you mean like the cows kick you? I was going to say, don't ever kick. Why would you ever kick a cow? That's terrible.
Distress cows. There's dangers all over this thing. You're going to need kick rails. You're going to need banana rails. You need non-slip matting. You need to make sure that the machines are guarded.
You really went deep into dairy farming.
It's dangerous in there, y'all. Wet and slippery surfaces. There's hoses and pipes. There's overhead obstacles. This place is a war zone. They have a thing called the rump rail to protect you from the cow's butt. It's terrifying in there.
You talk about this stuff, and I'm not a huge fan of milk, and I always think, like, maybe I just should not have dairy anymore. And then I remember the existence of cheese and ice cream, and I go, well, and I just ate yogurt again because I do every day. And then I think, okay, well, let's not get hasty, Sydney.
Okay, so I think yours is probably
mine
better.
Is like Hallmark medical history right there. Cowpox, Jenner, smallpox, vaccines.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Nine ladies dancing. I feel like we came up with the same one here, too.
There's absolutely no chance that that happened. Go on.
You didn't reference the dancing plague?
No, I'm not. 15, I'm getting 18? New. I want You're people to new have stuff? New stuff.
I'm not playing the hits.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so do yours.
Well, okay, we did a whole episode about it, but in 1518, people.
And a chapter in our book.
And a chapter in our book. People started dancing. Nobody knew why, and some of them danced until they died, and it was like they couldn't stop. It was a contagious dancing epidemic, and, I mean, obviously that's what he's trying to start here, this true love. He sends these nine dancing ladies to her, or him.
To get a dancing?
To the person.
A flash mob, as we said. Yeah.
Yeah, and then what if whoever is in the song who's singing, the person, they start dancing? Until they die.
Mine? Capoeira. Capoeira is
a martial art
that was created by enslaved African people in Brazil. And it is a very fluid sort of martial art. Mm-hmm. And actually, they were banned from practicing it. So they introduced music into the martial art to make it appear as though they're practicing dancing.
It looks like dancing.
It looks like dancing, but it's actually a martial art. And often when this is a more serious competition, people will attach like knives to their feet for capoeira. So it's a dangerous thing. There are MMA fighters that got their start in capoeira and bring some of that technique into the octagon.
That was a good one.
That's
that,
terrifying.
It is very cool.
Is
and like
nine ladies trained in capoeira to
coming
me?
At you. Yeah.
No way.
That's the end for the true love.
That's the end.
That was a good. There was a video game that I have played in my life. I feel like you should know where one of the characters that you could fight with. I feel like it was one of the fighting games, and one of the characters did capoeira. Like that was their fighting
it's
style.
Eddie from Tekken.
Oh.
Eddie
yes,
Gordo.
I did play Tekken, so that would be it.
Yeah. The 10th day of Christmas, what your love gave to me, 10 lords a-leaping. 10 lords a-leaping.
Are they the jumping Frenchmen of Maine?
No, because I'm not doing old stuff.
Well, I am.
All new.
It's the holidays. It's time for memories of shows gone by. And in 1878, some lumberjacks in Maine who happened to be of French descent, like French Canadian descent, would have had all these like increased startle reflexes and were like the smallest noise, and they jumped, and they hence the jumping Frenchmen of Maine. Thought to be a culture bound syndrome. We've done an episode on this too.
Look it up.
But contagious in a sense. They all were doing it.
You know who we haven't done an episode on? Mm-hmm. The Lord of the Dance. Michael Flatley.
Oh.
The lead of Riverdance.
Did he ever leap?
Sorry, what?
Was leaping part of Riverdance?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, he's leaping. They do everything. He's leaping all over the place. Are you talking about?
Honey, they do. Honey, they do everything but move their arms.
No, he does move his arms. He introduced arm movement. That's Michael Flatley's contribution to Irish step dance.
I didn't know he was allowed to move his arms.
Yeah, he invented it. The first time he moved his arms,
Harry was like, don't move their arms.
Yeah, because they don't want to distract from his great arm movements. This is the Lord of the Dance, folks. Feet of Flames, Michael Flatley.
Can we also talk about that in the 90s?
Yes.
This was huge.
This is like part and parcel with the Gregorian chant thing.
And the swing dancing moment.
There was this moment where everybody was like, hey, Al, we're wild about this one guy that does Irish step dance named Michael Flatley.
And everybody wanted to do Irish step dance. It was in one of those shows we did. We did a showcase, and there was a part where my mom choreographed an Irish step dance for all of us to do in the middle of the showcase.
Did you know Michael Flatley is from Chicago?
No.
Seems weird, right? Both his parents are Irish, but anyway. So he's an incredible dancer, but what's the danger, you're saying?
Yeah, what is Michael Flatley going to do to you?
What is the danger of Michael Flatley? Well, okay, Michael Flatley. This is a stretch. I'm not laughing at this this next thing I'm going to say. Michael Flatley, grossed in his career, he has done shows for more than 60 million people in 60 countries. This is the biggest dude on the planet, basically. It has grossed more than $1 billion, the Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley.
Dancing. He really is the Lord of the Dance.
He's
the
Lord of the Dance. If you have not seen, go back and look at like old Riverdance commercials. It's so wild. Like
It was huge.
We were deeply into Riverdance for a bit.
Me too. I'm not throwing shade. I was deeply into Riverdance for a minute.
Michael Flatley retired in 2016 due to constant spinal knee and foot and rib pain.
Aww.
Michael Flatley has grossed over $1 billion. So how are you going to keep food on the table with a Michael Flatley who's used to a certain lifestyle, right? Dude's raised over $1 billion, and now you've got to support him. Now there's nine? Nine Michael Flatley? Nine in addition to original Michael Flatley. So you have 10 Michael Flatleys who have grossed $10 billion. None of them are working. They're all at your house. Like, can I get you an iced tea, love? I know he's from Chicago, but I needed to differentiate.
He's from Chicago. He has Irish parents, and he has a British accent.
Da lemonade. Get the beers. Get me the beers.
Oh, now Chicago is the accent that Michael Flatley has.
He's from Chicago.
Right, so I know.
Makes sense. Faith McGuire, I win.
You win.
I do appreciate.
Now you win. I do appreciate remembering that Riverdance.
Oh, y'all get into some like Michael. Rachel, can you put a little bit of a wild Michael Flatley Lord of the Dance commercial? I will accept Lord
like
of the
you
Dance
have to
or
see it.
Feet of Flames or Celtic Tiger Lie.
I feel like you have to see it.
Michael Flatley, the Lord of the Dance.
Okay, go ahead. Listen, we are running out of time. We have to go pick up our child from school. We have to blow through these last two. Let's go. On the 11th day of Christmas, what you looking to me?
11 pipers piping. This is obvious. These are COVID times. You can't go around blowing wind instruments in public. This is a huge risk. There are spit valves on those things, right?
On what?
Those are on the other ones. Not the wind instruments.
I don't know woodwinds. Woodwinds probably have spit valves.
Do they too? Anyway, there's spit. There's stuff flying. Particles are everywhere. You've got 11 people coming at you.
Pipe smoking is associated with a number of illnesses. You think it's safer because you don't inhale. There's a chance of elevated risk of cancers in the mouth, including the tongue, larynx, and throat. And there's also elevated risk of lung and pancreatic cancer if you inhale.
All right, so are you saying that they're going to share their pipes, or is this a secondhand smoke deal?
It's pipe. No, there's pipers piping. I mean, it's dangerous.
Yeah, but how's it dangerous to the, you know, the person
you
singing
think
the
that,
song?
You think that people who identify their career as a piper are going to be able to pay their own medical bills? No. You're already bankrupted by Michael Flatley and his nine Michael Flatleys, okay? You're ruined by this point.
I think I win with their wind instruments blowing COVID, blowing Omicron everywhere.
Omicron is actually very good, and it's going to save us all.
No, we don't know yet.
12 days of Christmas my true love gave to me.
12 drummers drumming. Okay. Do you want me to go first?
Can I do mine? Because it's not.
Okay, do yours.
Yours is better. I bet. It almost has to be. When you drum, you have to be in great shape. This is exhausting, right?
Yeah.
And there's there is you get exposed to what are called continuous hand arm vibrations, mm-hmm. which they call them HAVS. HAVS. Oh. Yeah, there's a study on this, the effects of this, and apparently this is interesting. This is something that affects people who use power tools too, where the vibe. Which remember when I have started having so much like so many problems
when I started woodworking,
that vibration can be actually really damaging. It can lead to a variety of musculoskeletal disorders from the vibration in the hand going up the arm. So something that affects drummers, right, where they can lead to a lot of problems. But it also affects like people who work with power tools and stuff like that, which I thought was interesting because I didn't know what it affected me, but it's that vibration can actually have some deleterious effects.
This is very interesting. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that while that would affect the 12 drummers who are drumming, what about the person that the song is about?
How do you mean?
The whole idea is that these drummers would be dangerous to the person receiving the gift, receiving the 12 drummers.
Right.
Okay. So my argument is that the problem is anthrax.
What?
You can get anthrax from animal hide drums. There have been cases of this, obviously not a lot, but this has occurred. The first case that occurred in the United States was in Florida in 1974.
Sounds right.
There was a case of cutaneous anthrax, with like a skin lesion, that was associated with a goat hide bongo drum that had been purchased in Haiti. And anthrax can live in the soil, so it was on the goat hide that was used to make the drum. And then when you start banging away on your bongo drum, you get it, you know, you get those particles all over you. So they can get on your hands. They can go up in the air. 12 of these people drumming away all around you. Anthrax flying everywhere.
If you had 12 drums, one of them's got anthrax, statistically speaking.
I should clarify, this is incredibly rare. So please, if you're a drummer, please don't be stressed. And it's only from animal hide drums. I don't know what else drums are made of.
The judges have spoken, and oh my gosh, Sydney, you're not going to believe this, but it's a tie. They say we're both very much in love and they're proud of us, is what the judges said. And that's going to do it for us for this week on Sawbones.
We hope this was a brief respite from real medical things. In the meantime, though, now that you're done laughing, enjoying it was just hilarious, I think. But you should go get vaccinated or boosted and wear a mask and continue to be aware that not everyone has the opportunity to be vaccinated yet, specifically young children. We have one.
Yeah.
And there are others. And then there are immunocompromised people who, even if they can get vaccinated, might be less likely to respond to the vaccine. So they are still at risk. So be cautious, be aware, take care of each other.
Right now, as you're listening to this, there is a new Candle Night Spectacular for you to enjoy. Head on over to bit.ly/ Candle Nights 2021. That's what it is, bit.ly/ Candle Nights 2021. Tickets are $5 with an option to give more, and you're supporting Harmony House, which is a fantastic organization.
A local organization in Huntington that works to help people facing homelessness to receive services to get them housed. And then I do free medical care there.
We've got another one of our Sawbones holiday specials in there, continuing our epic saga. It's 15 minutes long.
You say that like that's really long. They've been longer.
We got special guests like Hank Green, Gene Gray's there, Paul and Storm, Adam Brody, B. Dave Walters, and many more. It's going to be great.
I sing a song.
Sings
with me.
Yes, it's going to be great. But bit.ly/candlelights2021. Please, 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 please. It'll be available for another couple weeks or like another week as you're listening to this. So please go download and listen to it. Or watch it, I guess.
Watch and listen.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. Oh, thanks to Taxpayers for using their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us, which can now be found in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.